Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program. Happy and blessed to be here with you today. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, I've spoken a few times on the show about the messages and prophecies of some apparent apparitions by Our Lady to a founding mother and abbess of the Franciscan Conceptionist Order, Mother Mariana de Jesus Torres. The alleged visions took place in Quito, Ecuador, all the way back in 1599, and are known as the apparitions of Our Lady of Good Success. In 1906, Mother Mariana's three-century-old tomb was opened, and an incorrupt and whole body was discovered. Also, the cause for Mother Mariana's canonization was opened in 1986. Well, there are many within the Church today who believe that these messages and warnings are being fulfilled in our own times, just as predicted by Our Lady. Indeed, the Mother of God presented some very somber and heavy words to Mother Mariana about the future of the world and of the Church. Things like how unbridled passions would give way to total corruption in morals in society, how the world would be drowning in a filth of impurity, how those who should be defending the rights and teachings of the Church would instead give their hand to the Church's enemies and do their bidding, how the sacraments would largely be ignored, and especially how matrimony and holy orders would be thoroughly profaned and attacked. Our Lady talked about how the small number who would safeguard the treasure of the faith and virtues would suffer a cruel, unspeakable, and long martyrdom of the soul, to be delivered from the slavery of all the heresies and evil that will envelop the world, Our Lady said, would require great willpower, perseverance, courage, and confidence in God by the faithful. Confidence in God. That's the subject of today's program. And it's my hope you'll learn some new and important things today that will help you in your prayer life and as you go about your daily duties and works of the apostolate, building up a culture of life and purity. But before we go any further, let's offer a prayer together. O Mary Immaculate, the precious name of Mother of Confidence, with which we honor you, fills our hearts to overflowing with the sweetest consolation and moves us to hope for every blessing from you. If such a title has been given to you, it is a sure sign that no one has recourse to you in vain. Accept, therefore, with a mother's love, our devout homage, as we earnestly beseech you to be gracious to us in every need. We pray that you will make us live in constant union with you and your divine Son, Jesus. With you as our guide, we are certain that we shall walk in the right way, and that it will be our happy lot to hear you say on the last day of our life those words of comfort, "Come, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. Hoosier Catholic pro-life Dr. Casey Del Coco is asking for prayers as the state defends recently passed legislation on informed consent for the abortion pill reversal process. At issue is Indiana's latest pro-life law, HB 1577, in which a provision of the bill requires abortion providers to tell a woman seeking an abortion that if she takes the abortion pill and then changes her mind, there is a method available to help reverse the process and possibly save the life of her unborn child. The new law is set to take effect on July 1st, but Bloomington All Options and Planned Parenthood sued the state to try and stop it. The Indiana Attorney General's office brought in witnesses this past week, including the pioneer of the reversal process, Dr. George Delgado. According to the Charlotte Lozier Institute, Dr. Delgado published the first peer-reviewed article in medical literature describing the reversal of mifepristone, or RU486, using progesterone. He then went on to establish Abortion Pill Reversal, a program that connects women who have changed their minds after taking mifepristone mifepristone and want to reverse the effects of the abortion pill. Dr. Casey Del Coco, a solidly pro-life family practitioner who established the Magnificat Center in Indianapolis and who has personally assisted women in reversing the abortion pill, also testified. Planned Parenthood lawyers likewise called in witnesses to present their case, including the infamous abortionist Dr. Martin Haskell. To date, more than 2,000 lives have been saved nationwide from the abortion pill reversal process. Please pray much this weekend for a favorable verdict, and especially for federal judge James Patrick Hanlon, who has promised to issue a ruling as soon as possible. And defending informed consent on the abortion pill reversal process is not the only task that is keeping the Indiana Attorney General staff busy these days. According to Indiana Right to Life, the office has also been arguing in defense of some other pro-life laws, including Indiana's in-person requirements and physical plant requirements. This past week, a federal judge heard the case brought by Whole Women's Health of South Bend against major portions of Indiana law. Indiana Right to Life said that abortion businesses have been repeatedly referencing the Evansville community as a place where abortions could begin immediately if these laws are struck down. All options in Planned Parenthood, as well as other abortion providers and supporters, have not been shy in saying that it is a priority for them to keep challenging pro-life laws in court in a bid to get them struck down so that abortion can be made more widely available. And finally, for the first time in 3 weeks, abortions were performed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Sidewalk advocates say that approximately 19 unborn children were intentionally killed either through a surgical or chemical abortion. It was noted that several women from Monroe County were among those who came to the facility to end the life of their unborn child. Please keep praying for miracles, for the conversion of all who work and volunteer there, and that this place of death will soon be transformed into a haven for life. And that's your weekly in the news. Well, there are definitely some good things going on in spite of all the bad and frightening things going on around us. God is at work. Let me give you just one example of this. A few short weeks ago, we were gathered outside there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, as we always do on Thursday mornings, praying and sorrowfully waiting for abortion day to begin there. The workers were driving in, clients were showing up, and like clockwork, the abortionist arrived just shortly before 9 a.m. when we began our live broadcast of the prayer hour for life there. Just as we were about to go on the air, I turned my head to see the abortionist pulling out of the drive and leaving. I kept looking intently in disbelief, making sure that my eyes weren't cheating me, but it was true. And she never came back that day. In less than 10 minutes, it went from being abortion day to, hey, there won't be any unborn children being killed here today. We have no idea what happened. Perhaps there was simply some miscommunication and she came down on the wrong Thursday. But no matter what the cause was, I sensed strongly that God wanted to teach me a lesson. And that was to have utter confidence in Him, that He is at work, that He has everything under control, and that when it is the perfect time and all of His plans have been accomplished, it will only take His word and abortion will be ended. Just like that. The only thing I need to worry about is to make sure that I keep my hand to the plow, working and praying joyfully and generously, and He will do the rest. By the way, we fully expected that the abortionist would be back the following Thursday, but she never came then either. We haven't seen her back for 3 weeks in a row, praise God. Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, Our Lady told Venerable Mother Mariana de Jesus Torres that followers of her Son must have total confidence in God, especially when times are particularly evil. The word confidence comes from the Latin cum, meaning with, and fidere, meaning to trust. Confidence is the assurance or belief in the goodwill or veracity of another. It's when we place our trust entirely with another. We can even go further and say that fidere is derived from the Latin word fides, which means faith. If one has faith in something or someone, they have confidence in that thing or person. So faith and confidence are intimately related. Jesus spoke about the need to have confidence in Him. For just one example, we can go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. When a woman who was suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind Jesus to just touch the tassel on His cloak that she might be healed. We read that Jesus turned and saw her and said, and I want to first read this in Latin, Confide filia fides tua te salvam fecit. The translation, confidence, daughter, your faith has made you whole. That woman had great faith and believed that simply touching the garment of Jesus would cure her. Well, as I mentioned last week, our family recently returned from a visit with our daughter, who is in a Carmelite monastery in Nebraska. After every visit, right before we're getting ready to depart, they always leave a little goodie bag on the turn for us to pick up and take with us. Always included are scapulars and little bookmarks the sisters have made. There are also usually a couple booklets added in. And this time, one of those treasures was a little work called The Book of Confidence by Father Thomas Saint-Laurent, a French priest who was ordained in 1909. The booklet was published through the America Needs Fatima campaign, and it's pretty short, coming in at just under 60 pages. It's very edifying and an easy read. In fact, I read it on the trip back home. And I want to share some of Father Saint-Laurent's gems from that booklet with you today. Now, on the cover of this little manual is a beautiful depiction of Our Lady holding her infant son. I hadn't recalled ever seeing this particular image before, and so I looked it up. It turns out that this is a special image that bears the title known as Our Lady of Confidence, and sometimes it's even called Our Lady of Trust. The image is enshrined in the major seminary next to the Basilica of St. John Lateran in Rome, and Our Lady of Confidence's feast day is celebrated on the last Saturday prior to Lent. The picture was painted by an Italian artist and given to a sister, Claire Isabella Ferrani, who was the abbess of the convent of Poor Clares in Todi, Italy, in the early 1700s. Sister Claire is said to have had a very pure heart and that she practiced severe penances. She received some high mystical graces too, including visions and ecstasies, and she was even gifted with a participation in the sufferings of Christ through the imposition of the stigmata. She died in 1744, and the cause for her canonization is open. Well, apparently in one of those visions, Our Lady told the Poor Clare nun that this image of the Madonna and child that she had been given was special, and that through it, she would grant singular graces and privileges. Venerable Sister Claire said, "The Heavenly Lady deigned to reveal to me that every soul that confidently presents herself before this picture will obtain from her divine Son the general pardon for all his or her sins. Moreover," Sister Claire went on, "the Lady assured me with the love of a true mother that she would grant a special tenderness and devotion toward her to everyone who contemplated this picture." Venerable Sister Claire also encouraged the ejaculatory prayer, "My Mother, My Confidence," be said not only in front of the image itself, but simply and often throughout the day. Now, the portrait itself is beautiful, with the Blessed Virgin Mary tenderly holding the infant Jesus in her arms as a finger on his left hand points to his mother. Both of them are wearing gold crowns inlaid with diamonds and jewels. There's been miraculous things that have occurred from veneration to this image, including the time when seminarians were protected against the Asiatic cholera that claimed thousands of lives throughout Italy in 1837. Also, during World War I, when many of the seminarians were sent to war, there were numerous accounts of how Our Lady of Confidence had kept them safe. In addition, when Pope St. John XXIII was a student at the major seminary, he became a devotee of Our Lady of Confidence and supposedly even offered his first Mass in the presence of this image. All this just goes to show the richness of our faith and the many ways that Our Lady and His Mother are there to help us. And they want us to be confident in their love for us, to have faith in them. And as the times become more darkened, more confusing, more unsettling, our confidence and trust in God and His Most Holy Mother will have to become more sure and rock solid. And that's why this little booklet by Father Thomas Saint-Laurent is a little jewel. Well, I've only just described for you the image of Our Lady of Confidence that graces the front cover of this booklet. And so now I want to turn to the wisdom imparted on the pages of it. Father Saint-Laurent wrote this book in order to help incite souls to confidence in God. Father notes how on the eve of his passion, Jesus warned his apostles of what was to come. "Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived when each of you will be scattered to his own home and you will leave me alone." That's John chapter 16, verse 32. But then Jesus comforts them, saying, "Have confidence. In the world you will have trouble, but I have conquered the world." The first thing that our Lord exhorts his apostles to is confidence. And he says the same thing to us in our own times when deep darkness tries to drive out all rays of hope. Have confidence, he says. Father writes that rare are those Christians, even among the fervent, who possess that type of confidence which excludes all anxiety and doubt. And there are two reasons why this is so, Father says. The first is that many souls are afraid of God, which is why our Lord so often had to tell people to be not afraid. Secondly, others simply lack faith. They do not have the irresistible conviction that God, mindful of their trials, is watching over them, ever ready to help. Father Saint-Laurent reminds us that Jesus always asked for a person's concrete faith before he would perform a miracle. And Jesus told St. Margaret Mary Alacoque that if one has faith and believes, he will see the power of his Sacred Heart and the magnificence of his love. Father Saint-Laurent says that when souls lack confidence in God, it's harmful to them and deprives them of great blessings. He uses the example of when Peter, in his eagerness to meet our Lord, jumped from his boat into the lake and began walking on water. Peter seemed so confident at first, but what happened? The winds blew violently all around him. The waves rose up angrily, threatening to engulf him. Peter, who was now filled with fear, began to sink. O you of little faith, Jesus told him, why did you doubt? And how often do we do the same thing? When the waters around us are tranquil and quiet, we are at peace and we're not afraid. We'd say we're confident in God. But when life's tempests rise up and there are dangers and evils all around us, we take our eyes off our Lord and turn to everything else that's swirling around us, and we begin to sink. Father writes, if we had clung to our Lord with a confidence that grew in proportion to the apparent desperation of the situation, we would have suffered no harm. We would have walked safely and calmly on the waves. Now, of course, we might say, well, to have confidence in desperate situations is easier said than done. And Father acknowledges this when he writes, confidence is not a common flower. It grows on the crests. It does not permit itself to be picked except by magnanimous souls. Confidence, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, is a hope that is fortified by solid conviction. Confidence is an extraordinary and heroic hope. Father Saint-Laurent asks, what sovereign strength fortifies hope to the point of rendering it unshakable in the face of the assault of adversity? The answer, he says, is faith. He writes, the confident soul remains mindful of the promises of her Heavenly Father. She meditates upon them profoundly. She knows that God's word cannot fail, and from this she draws her certainty. Danger may threaten, surround, and even strike her, but she always preserves her serenity. Therefore, the deeper our faith, the stronger and more deeply rooted will be our confidence. And this is such an important point to remember, that even if the landscape all around us seems to lie in utter ruins, we can continue to be master of ourself by remaining calm and having utter confidence in God, that He will rebuild it all and right the wrongs. I love what Father Saint-Laurent says here. He says, in calamities, the confident soul will simply turn to the Lord. She will lean on Him with a certainty that increases in proportion to the degree that she feels herself deprived of human help. She will pray with greater fervor and in the darkness of the trial continue on her path, waiting in silence for the hour of God. Father gives the example of Job and how he dealt with his misfortunes, and of Saint Martin, who should have been killed by bandits, who had him stripped and robbed, but was instead freed. When St. Martin was later asked if he had been afraid during the incident, he replied, "Not at all. I knew that as human help became more improbable, divine intervention was all the more certain." Those are actually perfect words to remember for our times there. Father Saint-Laurent then goes on to mention how a necessary component to having confidence in God is being able to persevere in prayer. Because guess what? We don't always get what we ask for or even what we need right away. Father says that our Lord plays deaf sometimes just because he likes to hear us invoking him. Then Father quotes St. Francis de Sales, who said, "Providence only delays in coming to our aid in order to excite us to confidence. If our Heavenly Father does not always grant us what we ask, it is because he desires to keep us at his feet and to provide us with an occasion to insist with loving violence in our petitions to him." What beautiful thoughts there. Father Saint Laurent also makes it a point to warn us that having confidence in God does not mean that we are to become passive. When a soul possesses the virtue of confidence, that soul most certainly does not develop a mentality that leads her to think that it is useless for her to multiply her own human efforts in trying to overcome difficulties. We are certainly not let off the hook in this regard, and we may not simply cross our arms and await divine intervention thinking, "Oh, this is all beyond me. I'll just hide out in my bunker until the storm is over and God has wiped the slate clean." That most certainly is not confidence in God. Father says that we must always act, but we must do so from him and from whom we expect the efficacy of our actions. Our prayers, penances, and apostolic works of charity form an indispensable part of the economy of salvation. Father says, "To your post, then, and man them. Work with your spirit and heart turned on high." As St. Ignatius of Loyola said, "In everything you do, trust in God, acting, nevertheless, as if success in everything depended entirely on you and not at all on God. But employing your efforts to attain this good result, do not count on them, but proceed as if everything were done by God alone and nothing by you." Now, there's also for the advancing spiritual soul the temptation to a naivete on matters of the world. Of course, we must always be careful in regards to the content of worldly matters that we take in, as well as the amount. We shouldn't overwhelm ourselves with all the bad news and the evil things that go on. However, we should not fall to the other extreme and pay no attention to what is going on around us. We have to be smart in the news we consume and do our best to filter out those things that might affect the purity of our minds and hearts. So the confident soul is able to strike the needed balance so that she can apply her prayers, penances, and charitable works most effectively. Father Saint Laurent also devotes a short chapter in this booklet to those souls who are finding it difficult to have confidence in God because they at one time led a very disorderly and sinful life, or perhaps they're still struggling mightily with particular sins. Father urges such a soul on by saying, "The more a soul senses the weight of her own misery, the more should she lean upon God and not lose confidence. Grace can still raise such a soul to a high perfection. And as far as any sinner goes, ourself or others, we should remember the good thief, St. Dismas, who in one single minute was converted." At the end of this chapter, Father calls us to pay attention to the most loving heart of Jesus that was opened by the soldier's lance, where blood and water poured out for us. "All this he gave you," Father says. How is it possible to not have confidence and trust in this Savior? If we want to grow in the virtue of confidence, we should look often upon a crucifix. Father Saint Laurent says that Jesus is the Lord of the supernatural life. He is in the business of raising dead souls to life. And this is so very important to remember during our times when so many souls seem so lost. Father says that we should meditate for a long time on this stupendous power of our Lord to bring dead souls back to life. Father suggests meditating upon the healing of the paralytic in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. That's where a crippled man is brought to Jesus on a mat carried by four men. Unable to get near to Jesus, they open up the roof and let the mat down. When Jesus sees their faith, he tells the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." But knowing that the scribes didn't believe that he had the power to forgive sins, Jesus said to them, "Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, pick up your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home." We can be like those four men who carried that mat with their friend on it to Jesus. We can bring to Jesus souls who are dead in sin with the same confidence and faith that those men had. The immense fire of love that the Sacred Heart has for the salvation of men should drive us to such confidence. He's just waiting for us to carry souls to Him, which we can do by our prayers, penances, and good works. Father ends the booklet by saying that confidence glorifies God. The virtue of confidence participates in praise and adoration simultaneously. In a luminous and most sweet synthesis, confidence sums up the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, Father writes. For this reason, the prophet Jeremiah, dazzled by the brilliance of this virtue, is incapable of containing his admiration and exclaims with enthusiasm, "Blessed be the man that trusts in the Lord." Father says, we cannot repeat this too often. Confident prayer obtains everything. Make acts of confidence frequently. Let every one of your actions serve as an occasion to renew those acts. It is, above all, in the hours of difficulty and trial that you must multiply them. Well, I'm running out of time for today's program, and I was thinking about ending by breaking out in song with Julie Andrews' I Have Confidence ditty that she did in The Sound of Music. But then I thought better of it and thought it more appropriate to end with a little prayer given by Father Saint-Laurent from his Book of Confidence. So I'll end with that. We do not know what the future, somber with threats, reserves for us, but we abandon ourselves into the hands of Thy providence. We confide our concerns to Thy Sacred Heart. They are at times quite oppressive, but Thou art with us to soften them. We confide our mortal miseries to Thy mercy. Human frailty makes us fear our weakness, but Thou, O Lord, shalt support us and preserve us from the great fall. And like Thy beloved apostle, who rested his head upon Thy breast, so also shall we rest upon Thy Sacred Heart. And according to the words of the psalmist, there shall we sleep in delicious peace, because, O Jesus, we shall be rooted by Thee in unshakable confidence. Thanks so much for joining me today. Until next time, let us heed the words of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe, that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.